In my message today, I'm going to begin with one key verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, a well-known verse, but a mighty verse in God's Word. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It was the year 2003, and I remember it very well. I was on my way to the refrigerator when I heard some oohs and ahs coming from my wife and my teenage daughter. So I stepped into the living room and found them watching a new reality program on television called Extreme Makeover. And in case you never saw an episode of that program, or maybe you forgot some of the details, I found a paragraph here that pretty much sums up the whole thing. Each episode of Extreme Makeover features two candidates whose looks are changed in an effort to transform their lives and to make their dreams come true. This is accomplished through the skills of doctors, a plastic surgeon, an eye surgeon, and a cosmetic dentist, along with a talented team of hair and makeup artists, stylists, and personal trainers known as the Extreme Team. At the end of each episode, the participants return to their friends and families to reveal their new looks to their loved ones, who were not allowed to see the incremental changes during the process. And so, when the final reveal comes, it's one of those wow moments. Would you look at that? What a dramatic change. And so when I saw this going on, I thought, I'm going to come back the next week and watch a new episode with them. And in the new episode, they presented this lady as a new subject to work on, and to me, she really didn't look that bad. She looked like just about anybody you would see here at First Baptist. But they decided to give her a new nose, chin, teeth, and a few other body parts that I'm not going to mention here. Speaking of parts, last Sunday in the message on dealing with emotion, point out the fact that we're created in the image of God, and just as God is a Trinity, we are spirit, soul, and body. And here's the thing, the soul, with the mind and emotions and the will, it can turn to the spirit and be spirit-focused, or it can turn to the body and be focused on the physical. And the focus in this world is on the physical. This world glorifies the physical over the spiritual. And it reminds me, as I was thinking about this, it reminded me of the movie Shallow Hal. And it's a story about a guy who judges all females by their physical appearance only. But a change happens where now he can only see inner beauty, and what he sees in that inner beauty is transferred to the what he thinks he's seeing in the physical realm. It corresponds with the physical realm, but he's really seeing the inner beauty. And it reminds me of the old saying, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And that is definitely, folks, listen to me. That's definitely true of God. There are no unattractive people to God. There are only people who need to be saved and changed. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We have been predestined to be conformed to His image. That's God's great purpose, is to take our lives and to conform our lives into His image. And He is the original makeover artist and change agent. When God looks at us, He looks on the inside. And the change that comes is from the inside out. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. With this in mind, I want to suggest to you today that there are three important confessions that we need to make in order to receive a makeover from God. Confession number one, I need to be changed. Every person, every human being born into this world needs a makeover from God, and it needs to be extreme. Anyone who says, I'm okay the way things are, I don't need to be changed, they're not even going to get to first base with God. There's an old classic rock song by the group The Who, and there's a line in there that says, I don't need to be forgiven. Anyone who says, I don't need to be changed, I don't need to be forgiven, they're not going to get anywhere with God, because when we come to God, we come in humility, we come in repentance. God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And so we come and we say, yes, I need to be forgiven. I need to be changed. God isn't going to take the old. Look, listen, God's not going to take the old and just patch it up, repair it a little bit. He's not going to take your life and put a little bit of lipstick on your life and a little bit of makeup and a little bit of cosmetic surgery. God says this, do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. God has a word for you today. God wants to do something new in your life. And God says, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? It reminds me of a story I once read about a man who was selling a commercial property, a building, and it had been vacant for some time, and gangs had come in and they damaged the doors and broke the windows and strewn trash everywhere. And so as the seller was bringing this prospective buyer through this building, he went through great pains to tell the man, I'll get all this repaired. I'll get the trash cleaned up. I'll hire people to correct any structural damage and so forth. But the buyer said, no need. I'm buying this property for the site. I'm going to build something new. God is not into remodeling. God's not interested in just taking and remodeling your life a little bit. He's into new construction. God says, I will do a new thing, and it will spring forth. But there's a problem that has to be taken care of. The problem is on the inside. The trash, the stuff that's on the inside, the brokenness on the inside. Look at this. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's what God said. You're not born with a perfect good nature. The Bible teaches we're born in sin. And it tells us here that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And so, here's the thing. Your own heart. You know, last Sunday I was preaching on dealing with emotion and talking about our emotions and dealing with that. And your own heart, your own feelings, your own emotion will deceive you into thinking, I'm okay just the way things are. I'm okay. I don't need to be changed. But here's the truth, folks, today. Sin is radical, and therefore the change has to be radical. That's what the gospel is all about. We try to sugarcoat and let people just believe whatever they want and have it on their own terms. Oh no, the gospel message is come, die, live. That's the gospel. You come to Jesus in repentance. You die to self. You're trying to do it your own way. And then you're born of the Spirit and you begin to live. You take up the cross. One of the verses that I learned early on when I became a Christian was Galatians 2:20, where Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so, here's the first confession. If you're going to be changed by God, if you're going to receive a makeover from God, you have to begin right there. I need to be changed. Second confession, and this is critically important. Only God can make the change I really need. Because you see, there are people everywhere. They're trying to do it themselves. I'll be a good person. I'm going to try to be a good person. I'll try to have more kindness. I'll try to keep the law. In this effort, the Bible says our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. And I looked that up this week. I was thinking about that verse. It came to mind. And then I thought, I'm going to see how some other translations put it. And I came upon the NLT. And it says there, I like the way this is phrased. We are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind. When Jesus was giving his sermon in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, he said, "For I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God." The scribes and Pharisees were right up at the top. They were number 10, right up there, in terms of keeping the law and trying to keep the law. And then 2 weeks ago, I was preaching a message, the resume of a real Christian, and we were looking at Paul's credentials, and Paul begins to list all of his credentials. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. In terms of the law, he was just right up there at the top. But the Apostle Paul said, "I consider all of it rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ." We're saved by grace
through faith, not of ourselves, not of works. It's a gift of God. It's not by human might nor by human power, but by the Spirit. That's how we're changed. The Holy Spirit comes in and makes that change. You know, I was thinking this week when I was praying over this message and preparing this message, I thought about before I became a Christian. I try not to think about that too much, but I was really lost. I wanted to change. I truly, desperately wanted to change. I kept telling my family, I'm going to change. And I let myself down. I let them down over and over and over again. I was bound. I couldn't change until Jesus stepped into my life. He is the one who brings change. And when He came into my life, it was such a dramatic turnaround. Everyone knew what I was like, and then they saw what happened to me. And my four brothers and two sisters, I have a pretty big family. My four brothers and two sisters all came to know the Lord because who could deny that? Everyone knew who I was and what I was doing. And then they saw this dramatic change. My friends couldn't believe it. That's the change I'm talking about. And it's only through the power of God. I want you to look at this. And if you get nothing else today, please get a hold of this. I think this right here is one of the most important parts of the New Testament. In John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29, the people came. They came to Jesus and they said, look at this question. What shall we do? That's what people always want to know. What should I do? The Philippian jailer said that, and they told him the right message. Receive Jesus. Repent. And you'll be saved. But they said, the people came, they said, what shall we do that may work the works of God? Now notice this. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God. What is it? What is the work of God? That you believe in Him whom He has sent. Why? Why is that the work of God? Because Jesus has already done all of the work. When He hung on the cross and He said, it is finished, the veil over the Holy of Holies was rent in two from top to bottom. It signified that now it was God reaching down to us in His mercy and grace instead of man trying to reach up to God. He's already done all the work. We believe and place our trust in Him. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. And Jesus, this is the bottom line, folks. Look, you must be born again. No other way. You must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So, here's the last confession that I want to deal with this morning. Confession number 3. When God changes me, all things become new. When we allow God to do a makeover on us, when we allow Jesus to come into our lives, there are 4 areas of life that will be made new. Number 1, we receive a new heart. God said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit. See, you see that, folks? There's the key right there. I will put my spirit. There's another place where it says God will write His law on our hearts. By the Spirit. It's what He does. By the Spirit. I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You say, it's so hard for me to try to be a Christian in this world. Let the Holy Spirit lead your life. Ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. To empower you to live the Christian life. God said, you will keep my judgments and you will do them. The problem is in the heart. Jesus said all kinds of things come out of the heart. I want you to look at this. And look at this passage here in Mark. And this is the GNT, and I rarely ever even look. But I kind of like the way that this was phrased. And so I'll share these verses with you from the GNT. Mark 7, 21 through 23. And he went on to say, it is what comes out of you that makes you unclean. For from the inside, from your heart, come the evil ideas which lead you to do immoral things, to rob, kill, commit adultery, be greedy, and do all sorts of evil things, deceit, indecency, jealousy, slander, pride, and folly. All these evil things come from inside you and make you unclean. Now, the answer today to the problems of the world, the answer is a change in the inside. The answer has to do with the heart. If you want to end crime, child abuse, human trafficking, drug addiction, war, you change the heart, because if you change the heart, you change the behavior. I'm going to tell you right now, I could solve this thing between Ukraine and Russia in a heartbeat if they would just listen to me. If Zelensky and Putin would get filled with the Holy Spirit and have their hearts changed, this war would be over. Amen? And that's the key. It is the heart. Because you see, folks, please understand this. I'm trying to... We make it more complicated at times than it needs to be. Here's the deal. Without this change that I'm talking about, then all you have is religion, duty, condemnation, trying to live a certain level. But when Jesus comes in and changes the heart and the Holy Spirit fills your heart, then it's a relationship that you have. And it's joy, obedience, and liberty. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's where true freedom. You want our country to be free? Everybody talks about freedom. Yeah, we could be free. When the Holy Spirit begins to sweep over our land and change hearts and minds, then we'll have true freedom. So, only God can make the change I really need. He gives a new heart. Secondly, a new walk. For you were once darkness. That's my testimony. I don't mind telling you today. I was once darkness. But the word here says, now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That word walk means conversation, lifestyle. Is there anything in your life that sets you apart? Can people point at something and say, yeah, that person's a Christian? You may be the only Bible anyone ever reads. Based on your walk. It's more than just saying the sinner's prayer to try to get into heaven. You walk with the Lord in a relationship. And here's the deal. Look at this, folks. This is God's word. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, All we're doing is telling a lie. We lie and do not practice the truth. But here's the key. You would say, how can I get over the hump? How can I be victorious? How can I be the person God wants me to be? I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ. And that's a work that the Holy Spirit does. Okay, I need to move on here. Number three. When God makes that change, when He does that makeover in our lives, He gives us a new song. I love this. Sing unto the Lord a new song. The psalmist said this in Psalm 40, verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Ephesians 5:19 commands us to sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. Are you a person of praise? You know, when we get to heaven, I see people all the time. They won't even sing one line of a song and won't give it, never raise a hand or anything like that. And when we get to heaven, what do you think it's going to be like when we get to heaven? If you're out of practice, you're going to feel kind of strange when you get up there. And there's all kinds of jubilant praise going on. Folks, I want to tell you something right now. There is power in praise. When you're having a bad day and you feel bad and everything seems to be going wrong, I challenge you. You just, by your will, you will yourself to praise God and things will start getting better. There's power in praise. There's victory in praise. I was looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning with verse 21, and King Jehoshaphat, he put singers and praisers on the front lines of an army. What army does that? The army of the Lord, because there's power, there's victory in praise, and I guarantee you, praise will change your life. Become a person of praise. We need to be people of habitual praise. Therefore, by Him, by Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Here's my last part of this message today. So, when God does this makeover upon us, this change, we receive a new heart, a new walk, a new song, and ultimately a new destiny. Praise God. Look at this. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where's your citizenship today? You say, well, I'm a citizen of the United States of America. That's a good thing. But our true... We were made for something other than this world. This world is not our permanent home. Our true citizenship should be in heaven. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's what I want to know. That's what God wants to know. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that our forerunner, Jesus, He's gone before us, a new and living way has been opened up. He's prepared a place for us. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. I'm coming to a close here in a moment, but in thinking about what God can do in our lives, the change that He can bring, the makeover that He works upon us, the Holy Spirit brought to my mind this week Isaiah 61:3. We sang a little bit of it here in the song service, where God says, you talk about, here's what God will do. Here's what God will do for you. Here's what God will do for His people. He'll give beauty for ashes. Does your life at times seem like just a pile of ashes? God says He'll give you beauty for ashes. There's an old Bill Gaither song. I like to pull out the guitar and play it every now and then. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful out of my life. Are you grieving for some reason? Are you burdened? He will give the oil of joy for mourning. Jesus said, let my joy remain in you. It's His joy. The oil of joy for mourning. Are you feeling heavy, laden? You know, this world, how often, you know, in this crazy world we're living in, there's a spiritual oppression that has come upon the world. We all probably feel that at times. The heaviness, the spiritual heaviness. God says that He'll give us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And that's what we need today. I close with this. Final destiny. And I'm looking forward to it. Jesus could come back today. He could come back tomorrow. We're right on the cusp of His return. I'm kind of hoping He comes back before AI takes over everything. Just think, I won't even have to get up here and preach a sermon. I'll just have on the, you know, AI sermon on the... No, we won't go there. Here's the final destiny. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then He who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. One day we're going to have new glorified bodies. God says He makes all things new. And He said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. I want you to bow with me in prayer as our song leader comes or someone comes and plays for us as we wait on the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed, because I believe God wants to touch someone today. Folks, let's not just come and go through the motions. Do you want God to change you? Maybe you're here today and after hearing this message, you're thinking, I need to be born again. I need to have my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I need to be saved. I've been trying to do it on my own and I need to surrender to the Lord. If that's you today, I'm going to invite you to come. If you need healing, if you need a touch from God, I believe in the one who is able to call things that are not as though they were. God is a God of miracles. And perhaps today He has a miracle for you if by faith. All I can do is pray for you and join my faith with your faith. That's all I can do. You have to place your trust in Jesus. Would you do that today? Maybe you're just really oppressed and burdened and despairing. And You need a ray of hope and light and praise to come on your soul. You could come today and I'll pray for you. You might want to pray for someone right near you if you know that they have a need. That's what it's all about. It's not just showing up and singing a few songs and hearing a message. We need to be the body, members of one another. Ministry to the body.